I was living in a small redneck town.
Okay.
We were surrounded by farms and ranches and U.S. sugar. So it's Clewiston, Florida. Probably the population back when I was growing up was probably under 3,000. It's just a small town. And growing up, we lived pretty, it felt like in the middle of nowhere. We were 60 miles from West Palm Beach, Florida, and 60 miles from Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay.
And we were like in the middle. So if you were on Highway 27 or US 90 or Highway 80, I think, all three of those would take you through Clewiston.
Okay. And what was religion like in your house?
We went to the Baptist church. Me and my brother were there from the time we were in diapers. But what that meant was my parents never went. I've seen my parents in church one time, and that was when me and my brother got baptized. But they didn't go before that, and they didn't go after that. We went every Sunday, and then eventually we got into youth groups. I got into youth groups. My brother didn't care. But it's not, he didn't care because he wasn't Christian. He has special needs. He has autism and all the bells and whistles that goes with that. And he's got cerebral palsy. So his mind works a different way than everybody else's. And because of that, it's not that he doesn't care because he lacks empathy. It just doesn't enter his realm of what he needs to do. It's not in his narrative.
Yeah. And what version of Christianity were you being taught at church? Because it was a Baptist church, but from what I understand, it's kind of borderline Christian. So what kind of Christianity were they teaching?
As far as I know, it's just basic Christianity. We had a King James Version Bible. We thought that was the be all end all of everything Christian. If you didn't use the King James Version, then you were probably going to hell. And the thing that got me when I was 15 years old, I grew tired of every sermon being about money. I couldn't stand it anymore. And I told my dad, if I hear one more sermon, I said, I'm okay with the offertorium. They pass the plate around. I said, I'm all right with that because you got to take a collection plate because everybody in there is on salary. And you've got to keep the lights on and the electricity on and all of that. I get that. But that entire Bible was not written for us to donate money to the Baptist Church.
Right.
And, my dad said, not every sermon is about money. And I said, Dad, you're trying to tell me what I'm hearing you say right now is that although the country music station plays the Baptist sermon live every Sunday, you don't listen to it. And he goes, I listen to it. It's on in the store while I'm getting the store ready to open. I was like, you're not listening to it. Because if you were listening to it, you'd know that they make that entire Bible about donating money to the Baptist Church. Every sermon, no matter what it says. We did one Sunday, Jesus wept. Shortest, Bible verse in the Bible. And Jesus wept because he saw the future state of the Baptist Church and saw that people did not donate enough money to the Baptist Church. And that made Jesus cry.
So I imagine that tainted your view of Christianity a lot. And so as we move forward into your story, it's something to keep in mind that the version that you saw growing up of Jesus, of Christ, was definitely not something you should be teaching, definitely not representative of the Bible. But I want to go back a little bit in time to back when you were a child, because you got interested in magic pretty young. Why was it so fascinating to you, and where did that start?
I watched every horror movie I could find. you know, sometimes back then, in the late 60s or 70s, a lot of horror movies didn't, they weren't on during the day. They would play them at like 3 o'clock in the morning and on like USA or something like that, you know, or TBS. And, you know, they would have things like Creature from the Black Lagoon. You ever see that?
No, I have not.
It's a man in a costume. It's clearly a rubber costume with an air tank on his back. And he goes in and out of a black lagoon. It's a mini pond. And, you know, he's looking for, I guess, women to marry or mate with. I don't know. But he looks like kind of a fish creature. He's not horrible at all.
Okay.
It was almost funny. But that was one of my favorite movies. Voyage into Space was science fiction. That was Johnny Sacco and his giant robot. Anything that was science fiction related or horror movies, I was really into. And a lot of the satanic movies, you know, like Rosemary's Baby was kind of creepy. The Exorcist was really creepy. But there were people in there that could do magic or magical type things. And in some of the horror movies, people could levitate. And to a little kid, Superman can levitate. So if I could levitate on my way to school, everyone else had to walk or ride the bike or take the bus, I would be the coolest kid at school. You know, everybody would wonder, how did I learn to fly? Because I wouldn't tell anybody what I did, but it would be cool if I could do something that no one else could do. You know, and I asked my Baptist preacher and my parents, is magic real? Is that something I can really do? And my preacher and my parents said, no. Magic is just fake. It's just stuff in movies or books. Or, you know, it's like Doug Henning coming on television and doing illusion. You know, this stuff isn't real. It's just fake. And it's odd that they would say that, especially the Baptist preacher, since he had a Bible.
Right.
I don't know what it says in the King James Version, but in my Catholic Bible, it says in 33 different verses, don't do magic things. I had a guy last year said he would give me $10,000 if I could prove magic was real. He was one of my caregivers. I said, come on over, I'll prove it. So he came over. I think he was expecting to watch me make a feather float or something. Hmm. And instead, I broke out my Bible and showed him the 33 verses. And I said, and he says, how is this proof? And I said, if you couldn't lie, thou shalt not lie wouldn't be in the Bible.
Right.
God wouldn't say anything about it because you can't do it. If you couldn't kill somebody, thou shalt not kill wouldn't be in there either. The fact that you can kill somebody is why he tells you not to do it. If it was absolutely impossible to kill, thou shalt not kill wouldn't be a thought in the Bible. I said, if you could not do magic, God wouldn't give you any warnings against it. Because you can do magic, it is possible for you to do it. There's 33 verses in here that tell you not to. It apparently is real and very prolific in the world because there's, you know, thou shalt not kill is one verse. Thou shalt not lie is one verse. Don't commit magic is 33 verses.
Right. It's been here for a while. It's been here before most of the modern medicine that we have. It was shamans and it was witch doctors. And this kind of magic is one part of it. There's also other kinds that we're going to touch to in your story that have been here for a really long time. It's just in our modern world, people kind of forgot that these things are real, or they live in some sort of cognitive dissonance, like not wanting to believe, even if they do see something. But it is a shame that a preacher, that a pastor would not think that magic is real. And that led you down a path that led you eventually to becoming a Satanist. And that was because the first time that you did magic or that you experienced magic was in school, if I remember correctly, around the age of 10. Can you tell the story of what happened that day?